Senate Committee on Local Government and Urban Affairs will come to order, and we're going to proceed as a subcommittee. And on Senate Bill 665, this was scheduled as a work session. Apparently, large number of people representing public agencies came from some distance in order to testify. I note that you signed up all setting very brief times from 15 seconds to 45, and we know generally what your opposition is. We have had a lengthy testimony on this from the opponents of this bill, and so I gather what you're here primarily for is just to record your opposition and work at it by way of numbers rather than lengthy statements. So with that idea in mind, we'll take the testimony of those people that are from outside Marion County who are opposed to SB 665. Some of you, I realize, have not signed up, but you'll be given an opportunity to testify. Good. 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 Mr. Van Warmer? Oh, wait a minute. You're from Salem, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. You can come back another time.
Well, this is the second time I've been back.
All right.
He sat very patiently in the back of the room.
Thank you.
I tried the same thing on you last time, right?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, we oppose this bill for two basic reasons. First of all, we feel that it would cause extensive and unnecessary delay, particularly in the accomplishment of our maintenance work. And secondly, we feel that this would increase costs of maintenance, of work on the street, because of the standby or readiness to serve characteristic of much of our work. We feel that large construction jobs are no problem now, and as the law requires, we do let to contract our large construction jobs. Here we have adequate time available to prepare plans and specifications. The work is well defined in character, and consequently, there's no problem in the bill as presently written. A brief look at five areas of city and county street and maintenance construction will show why this is true. Resurfacing is certainly a maintenance function of the cities and counties, and we do about 5 miles or $75,000 worth of resurfacing per year. And all of this is done by contract, though by law it would not be necessary to do so. This involves a complete restoration of the surface of the street. There's no time problem. We have adequate time to prepare plans and specifications, and in fact we anticipate many months in advance our resurfacing needs throughout the city. The preparatory work we do by city crews, and then we let the contract for about $75,000 to the contractors. Street patching, however, patching with hot asphalt, would be a real problem for us. We have many cuts occurring in the street throughout the year by utility companies, gas, power, electric, water, sewer cuts. We have potholes which develop and deteriorated surfaces, and these oftentimes appear on very short notice, and it's essential that we get out and repair these things immediately. The timing is important, and they can cause breaks in tires, and these holes in the streets can be dangerous. So contracting of this would take many weeks for plans and specification preparation, advertising, award, council action, and then finally getting a contractor to go ahead and do the work on these short-term, immediate type needs. The third area that we're concerned about is small street improvements. Now, the $50,000 limitation it works just fine for us. We let contracts on all of our large street jobs. This would be jobs over about three blocks in length. These streets cost about $15,000 per block, so anytime you have more than about three blocks, then you're obliged already to let it on contract. We find, however, that these very small jobs are very expensive. The price seems to skyrocket on the small jobs, due to the nuisance effect, the move-in, move-out costs, which are virtually the same for a contractor regardless of the size of the job. So he has these fixed costs that he has on every job, and a small job then runs up way out of sight. And we find that by building some of these very small streets, short streets ourselves, we can save a great deal of money for the people who are paying the bill as a special assessment. So the present bill is working just fine for us on street improvements. The fourth area of the five that I wanted to mention is the salt and sand application for snow and ice control throughout the city. We have a small, highly mechanized street sweeping crew, and during the early hours of the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock, when the temperature drops to about 34 degrees, we pull these people off of the flusher and sweeper and put them to salting and sanding the icy spots in the streets, the hills, the areas just up traffic from the railroad crossing so the vehicles won't slide across the crossing ahead of a train. Traffic signals, we salt and sand those when the temperature drops to about 34 degrees in the early morning. To let this type of work on contract would be impossible because the contractor couldn't, you know, be standing around waiting for the opportunity to salt and sand these icy spots, the bridge ramps and so forth. We're able to do this economically because we have the flexibility of a street sweeping crew to throw into this type of work. And the last point that I want to make is the problem we would have if we had to let on contract our maintenance work would be that of the street lane striping. As a result of the big snow and the cold weather, we lost all of our markings on the street. We had over 100 miles of markings that were just obliterated, and we had to get in immediately and do this work. We have the capability of doing this. If we would have had to let it on contract, we'd have had to prepare plans and specs, wait for the contractor. He maybe would be in Dallas doing the work and so forth. We would have had to wait our turn. As it was, we were able to catch the two elements that we needed, basically a dry pavement and temperatures above 30 degrees. We were able to get in day after day in the late afternoon and even on weekends and get these marks restored. Had we been wholly dependent upon a contractor or contractors to do this for us, we would have been severely delayed, and there would have been, of course, the safety aspect of these lane lines interminably delayed. And that's the extent of my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Van Horn. I appreciate it. Any questions? Thank you. Phil Cash, you drafted this bill. I indicated to you beforehand that we're going to finish up on the sessions on the cost bill and the crack bill before we take any action on this, and you'll be given an opportunity to testify before we take any action on it. And we want your testimony because you're the drafter of the bill, and be very helpful to us. And we have your statement in the meantime, which will be circulated to the members of the committee. Is that satisfactory, Bill?
Can I only comment at this time, Mr. Chairman, that you'll note that there is an amendment proposed to the bill as drafted because as it was prepared, it did not match my original draft, which included a portion of the maintenance budget of the contract, which I think is some of the problem that has been referred to. As I commented in prepared testimony, I've indicated what my original draft was and proposed amendment along that line.
Okay, thank you. We'll have the administrative assistant give us a memorandum on that, and we may be in communication with you before you testify, Bill. Thank you. Mr. Madison from Tillamook.
Senators, I'm Jack Madison. I'm manager of Tillamook PUD. And in my opinion, this bill is totally useless as it affects a People's Utility District. People's Utility District is owned by the consumers served by the district. We try to manage it in a form that meets with their approval. The way this bill is drafted, The management of the utility district will be vested in the Associated General Contractors. And I don't believe that that's the way the people of Tillamook PUD want their business managed. There's no way that under periods of emergency that we can write specifications and take bids for a maintenance item. You have to have enough people there to restore the service. There isn't any way that, we can parcel these maintenance items out and defer them till some other time. When maintenance is required, it's required right now. And those people want their lights on. I don't understand the reason that we're even included in the bill. We have a utility responsibility to maintain the service. As a manager, we certainly are not padding the payroll to keep a bunch of people around to do construction. The reason those people are there primarily is to maintain the electric service to the consumers. If this bill is drafted, we have to write more specifications on maintenance items. This means we have more non-productive people on our payroll. And therefore, I'm opposed to the bill in its present form without any question.
Thank you, Mr. Senator. Mr. Potter, from what city are you from? Oh, Forest Grove.
Mr. Chairman, I represent the Unified Sewerage Agency of Washington County. I live in Forest Grove. My statement is as follows. The Unified Sewerage Agency is responsible for approximately 500 miles of sewer lines within its boundaries which were constructed by the agency or its predecessors over a period of 20 or more years. Our maintenance problems require a versatile and knowledgeable crew with proper equipment to ensure that service can and will go on unimpeded. The agency is continually cleaning lines to ensure service to our service area. We have a continual problem with unknown individuals depositing sticks, rocks, and other materials into our sewer lines, which can produce a sewer stoppage. During the summer of 1971, we found an isolated manhole that had two bales of hay stuffed into it with effluent running out over the land. This particular incident required almost 24 hours to correct in that the hay, when wet, had swelled and was not responsive to normal obstruction cleaning practices. We believe for these and several reasons, we must have a maintenance force skilled and equipped to respond to these emergency situations on an immediate basis, day or night, with minimal notice. We believe this because we are service-oriented. The agency cannot see the justification revising this procedure and not providing service to our customers and ratepayers while we prepare plans and specifications, advertise for bids, let contracts, and go through the several items indicated in the Senate bill to achieve the same work. Given the current concerns about environmental problems, I seriously question that we would be able to explain to our citizens and ratepayers why we, as an agency, we're not doing the job and instantly correcting the problem. We firmly believe if we have a sewer problem, instant answers to this problem are necessary, and we cannot allow sewage to run over the land or to remain in the flooded basement while we go through the mechanics necessary to a contract procedure to resolve each specific problem. The same comments in general would relate to our need to maintain our own maintenance personnel to service our sewage treatment plants, which can involve in-plant stoppages, pump failures, motor failures, and failures in the general treatment system. The same comments would also hold true with regard to sewage pump stations, which, even with the best of preventative maintenance, can malfunction at times. The agency firmly believes that elimination of the maintenance function as a part of an operating sewage agency could present serious operational problems, potential health hazards, and an impossible public relations problem with those that we serve. The agency does contract for its construction projects and would propose to continue this procedure indefinitely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. Any questions? Thank you very much. You want to leave the statement here, Mr. Potter?
Yes, sir.
For the record, we are now proceeding as a committee of the whole.
Mr. Chairman, I want to thank the overwhelming support that we have for this bill.
Senator Hurd?
Chairman, members of the committee, I appreciate the courtesy of being able to talk to you during a time I know that you're supposed to be in work session, but I've been contacted by the two counties that I presently represent in the Senate, to Klamath and Deschutes County. In fact, Deschutes County has a delegation here this morning, and also I've had some contact with a county I formerly represented, Lake County, and I see a representative in the audience from that area. They are very concerned about this bill. Commissioners in Klamath County, to make it brief, said that it would put their road crews on a minor maintenance basis. I think Commissioner Young in Deschutes County had one of the better examples. He said with respect to an $11,000 or $12,000 road repair job, the road would be gone by the time you could get the specs drawn up, the bidding taken care of, and the job assigned. So I would urge you to carefully consider the impact that this could have on the counties in Oregon in its present form, and if you do, I know you'll have a number of grateful counties. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions, Senator Hurd? Thank you, Fred.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Dar from Washington County.
Chairman, my name is Larry Deere. I'm an assistant county counsel in Washington County, and I'll try and take only about 1 minute of your time this morning. I represent the Unified Sewage Agency and also participate in the representation of the other departments in Washington County, and as such, I would have the task of trying to interpret this legislation if it were passed for the purposes of our departments. You've heard the position of the Unified Sewage Agency, and I'd say that the other departments second that position. They're in opposition to it. I would only add to that having read the bill very carefully, I find that it's very, very poorly drafted, that in several instances it doesn't even do what it purports to do and could only be interpreted to do that, I would think, by a court, and would create great problems simply in the language that is used in it. If you would like any additional information on that, I could submit that in written form or discuss it with your administrative assistant.
Thank you very much, Larry. There's some people from Lake County, Deschutes County, that have not signed up, I believe. You want to come on up?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Ernest McKinney from Lake County, and I am representing the commissioners of that county, and I think that most of the arguments that we have against this have already been expressed. We would just like to go in opposition to 665 in its present form. I think you would appreciate the fact that we have 8,000 square miles down there and a very limited road budget, and contracting it would be almost an impossibility in that area. And that is the reason that we are concerned, particularly on the maintenance portion.
Thank you, Mr. McKinney. There's a couple of people from Deschutes County, is that right?
Senator Burns?
Gentlemen, I'm commissioner from Deschutes County.
What is your name?
Joe Peden.
How do you spell your last name?
P-E-D-E-N. We are real concerned about this bill. It's going to just about put us out of business in the road building business in Deschutes County. It's just like putting a couple of fellows in a ring and having them fight each other and then tie their hands behind their backs. It just leaves us cold.
Thank you, Commissioner Speed. Now, are there other witnesses other than from Salem? Are there any witnesses here to testify on 665 that are not from Salem? Okay, that concludes the testimony we're going to hear on Senate Bill 665. We will not take any action without another hearing, and which notice will be sent out. And it will be for a hearing and not a work session before we take any action on the bill. Thank you very much. All right, now we're going to Senate Bill 769. That's a bill on the Columbia Region Association of Governments. And I understand that Jonathan Ader, you are a drafter of that bill. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I worked on it.
And there's some, and then the chairman of CRAG is here.
CRAG, Mr. Young is here.
You feel that the two of you are the best to explain the bill to us. Is that correct? Okay, why don't you come on up, partner?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, since this
hold on
is
one second,
yeah,
Troy.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bill Young. I'm the mayor of Beaverton and currently serve as the chairman of the CRAG Executive Board. Since this is our first opportunity to display this proposed legislation, we thought it would be appropriate to have the drafter of that legislation here today to review the bill with the committee and perhaps respond to those questions that he would be most able to respond to. I would like to speak to the bill after he is done, and we have two or three other representatives of the CRAG Executive Board, along with representatives of some citizens groups in the area that I think may wish to add some testimony to that the Executive Board and membership of CRAG would like to make. So at this time, if we may, I would like to have John Ader, who drafted the bill, explain some of the mechanical operations of the thing, and then we would like to respond to some of the problems that prompted us to create this kind of thing and submit it to you.
Right. Why don't you stay up there, Bill?
All right, fine.
And, scoot over to Jonathan.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Jonathan Ader, a lawyer from Portland. I was engaged by CRAG to assist them as a draftsman in trying to get their ideas down, and I've worked with the Executive Board and with the General Assembly of CRAG over the last several months in trying to come up with a draft of legislation that accommodated the various political needs of the members of CRAG and came up.
Let me interrupt.
Yeah.
Our PA system here isn't very effective.
Okay.
Sometimes it causes more problems than it helps. And
I'll keep it up.
They're not built to
okay.
Do the best by the witnesses. Sitting out in the audience, so if you speak up a little bit, appreciate
it. Fine. There was a process that went on for two or three months in the early part of this year with the CRAG Executive Board, and then finally with the General Assembly, leading to a text of a proposed bill, which was substantially like the bill that's before you today, a Senate Bill 769. I want to say that the Legislative Council has taken a look at the bill, and he's done a number of pretty good things in terms of getting it maybe better organized and a little more clearly stated. We haven't had an opportunity to work with the Legislative Council's office to date, and as a result, I think there's some places where their words don't necessarily track with the intention of the CRAG Executive Board. I think all of these things can be worked out, but the scheme of the bill is certainly preserved by the Legislative Council, and all of the essential ideas are there. Basically, in spite of all of the words, this bill does three things. It creates a legislatively sanctioned entity known as the Columbia Region Planning District. It provides for the organization of that district essentially on a local government basis. Technically what the bill provides is for the appointment of an initial board of directors whose one and only assignment is to come up with a set of working rules or a constitution and bylaws or whatever phrase communicates to you what they should do. But that's their assignment, is to come up with a management set of rules for the organization and operation of this agency. that procedure is essentially laid out in sections 4 and 5 and 6 of the bill as it is before you, and I guess in section 7 as well. Then the bill turns to setting forth the powers which this district should have. These are matters which have been substantially negotiated out among the various interests represented in CRAG. This is primarily section 9 of the bill that you have before you. This is a very important section because it sets out and attempts to define what this agency ought to be doing. And essentially, of course, that's to adopt some planning goals and objectives and to maintain and update a plan as required and to administer the plan. I have some technical suggestions that I would like to raise with your committee either at this point or at the close of my remarks or at such time as you want to get into a work session about the bill, which might be a better time to bring these questions up. The third essential feature of this bill is that it provides for mandatory membership of the cities and counties within the region in the district, and does provide a means by which the district can assess its members, its city and county members, for the necessary financial support. I think that the consensus of substantially all of the members of CRAG, and certainly the ideas which are embodied in this bill, are that some form of mandatory participation in financing is essential if a district like this is to work. The bill also has in it a provision requesting an appropriation, which is a matter, I think, which should be deferred until such time as we have agreed upon the concept of the agency. It obviously is an agency which has the ability to fund itself to at least a certain extent. This bill ought to be analyzed at the moment, it seems to me, without regard to whether it's appropriate for the legislature to also provide financial assistance. That question can be considered at a later time when we know what it is that we're talking about.
Jonathan, you indicated to me, I believe, in the conversation we had one time that there was a certain constitutional problem that you had to face.
Yes, there is. We had provided that the agency would be a municipal corporation. That can't happen. That's in section 4.1 on page 3, line 13. That can't happen, apparently, under the Constitution if the legislature directly creates the agency as is provided for in this bill. I believe this is a matter which can be corrected by substituting the word district or agency, and I think what we need to do is to give some thought to the proper amendment so that it would be there is hereby created a special district to be known as the Columbia Region Planning District or some such suggestion, which I would like to submit to you, Mr. Burns, in writing, if I might, after we confer among ourselves. But that...
Why can't we create this?
There's been a suggestion raised that municipal corporations have to be created locally and not by the legislature under the Constitution. No, TriMet is TriMet is referred to as a municipal corporation, as a matter of fact, Mr. Chairman, because that's where I got this idea.
In Section 2, Article 11, the Oregon Constitution provides the legislative assembly shall not enact any act of incorporation of any municipality. But there's other ways of doing it, by general law or...
It's not clear to me, frankly, that prohibits the legislature from calling this entity a municipal corporation, particularly where what you're doing here is providing a representative local body to create the rules by which the agency is run. But this is a matter which certainly ought to be discussed because I don't think any of us would have the intention of working hard and then having something that was unconstitutional, and the matter can be...
I want to bring it out now.
Yeah. The other, I think, concern that I have is a matter of style as much as anything else is that the bill is drafted has on page 2, line 36, section 3.6, a defined term plan, which is a matter which has been worked out at some length. The bill that we talked about in the CRAG General Assembly, which was about the same time that this bill was being printed down here, used the term plan all the way through. I find that the Legislative Council has inserted the word land use plan substantially, and it's not clear to me whether he means something different than the defined term plan. It seems to me that if we've worked out a defined term, we ought to use that defined term, which is probably a little bit broader than land use, but at the very least it tells us what it is that we mean, and I think by necessary implication what it is that we don't mean. I have some other really minor technical suggestions along the way, but I'd rather answer questions and leave some time for you to hear from the people that are really interested.
Has he told us what you're going to do? This, Mr. Young is the chairman of Craig. He's going to go into that. Jonathan, the principal drafter of the bill, is going to go through later.
Technically, the powers of the bill or the powers of the agency would be set forth in Section 9 primarily, and you might want to refer to those as the fellows tell you what they have in mind.
As I indicated to Jonathan, we have a great problem with acoustics in these rooms, but we have even a greater problem with ventilation, and that's why this committee adopted a rule that there be no smoking at any of its meetings, and why it passed up the floor a bill that prohibits smoking in any state-owned or rented facility. So those of you who are smoking, we'd appreciate if you comply with the committee rules so we can proceed.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker.
A lot of background noise around the speakers. I wonder if it just doesn't eliminate them.
It'd be just fine to eliminate them. And in fact, if we take these away, I wouldn't remember they were there and speak up.
Stop working. I'll turn it off. Mr. Young.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I indicated, I'm serving presently as the chairman of the executive board of CRAG. I serve on the General Assembly as the representative of the cities of Washington County. It's my intention in my comments this morning to simply identify some of the physical characteristics of our area and some of the background that created this proposed legislation that's before you today. We encompass essentially a five-county area, which includes Clackamas, Columbia, Multnomah, and Washington counties in the state of Oregon, and Clark County in the state of Washington. These five counties include 46 cities and a multitude of large and small single-purpose districts. Our boundaries are essentially the boundaries of the Portland Standard Metropolitan Statistical Area. And with the addition of Columbia County, we make up administrative district number 2 in the state of Oregon. We share in our area, as and I think share it with other citizens in the state and with the legislature itself, a growing concern about the level of planning in the area of land use, and we are convinced that there's a need to improve the coordination of the planning efforts already being made. To this end, Senate Bill 769 has been introduced, and I would like to make, as my contribution to this hearing, three observations about the bill and its relationship to our area. First, the level of citizen interest and participation in the formation of this bill. Secondly, the support for this bill and for a regional approach in planning on the part of our local elected officials. And third, the factors that seem to suggest that the Portland Standard Metropolitan Statistical Area is an identifiable region and should be planned for on a regional level. As to the first point, over the past year and a half to 2 years, CRAG has been in the process of reorganizing the structure of its operation, and the most apparent change to date has been the inclusion of citizen committees, both on a technical level in the various component areas of planning and in a broad base effort to review the entire direction that CRAG activities should take. The committee that had this latter charge, which we called the Action and Directions Committee, met over a period of several months and formulated recommendations that are really the basis of the bill that we are discussing now. A member of that committee is here, and later in the testimony will further identify their efforts, and we also have representatives from other interested groups in the area that may wish to comment. The second area, and I think a very important one, is that of participation and concern by local elected officials in our area, and I think that can be demonstrated in several ways. I think first the very existence of CRAG over a six-year period, long before the administrative district concept was evolved, suggests the concern that was felt early on. And even before that, the Metropolitan Planning Commission functioned as a regional planning group. Most notable, however, and certainly most directly related to Senate Bill 769, was the action taken by the General Assembly of CRAG in early March of this year. At that time, as Mr. Ader indicated, after a review of the proposed legislation, the General Assembly of CRAG, by a vote of 18-7, authorized the introduction of this bill. It seems to me that this progression of regional planning efforts from the Metropolitan Planning Commission to finally the posture taken by the General Assembly of CRAG on March 1st of this year demonstrates a growing awareness and concern on the part of the local officials of the importance of broad-based planning in our area. The third consideration, and that really is the physical aspects and the population aspects that exist in our area that produce, at least in my mind, a non-separability as far as the Portland metropolitan area is concerned, I would offer here simply to support the judgment of those citizens' committees that have functioned for us and the judgment of those locally elected officials on the General Assembly of CRAG, because I believe these were the factors that were persuasive to both the General Assembly and the citizens group in their deliberations. We have already a recognition from the legislature of the necessity of broad planning efforts in the Portland metropolitan area. We have TriMet, Metropolitan Service District, and the Port of Portland, all three of which exceed boundaries of individual entities. Of these three, MSD has authority over the urbanized part, at least, of a three-county area. TriMet has a funding authority over a three-county area, and there's a bill presently pending in the legislature that would extend the funding authority for the Port of Portland in a like manner. It seems to me that these are legislative recognitions of the broad-based planning concept that is needed, at least in these certain given areas. We have some charts on the wall, and the one that perhaps is most instructive is the large map that is closest to the door. This is an effort to identify the place of work and place of residence within the Portland metropolitan area. And it's interesting to note, and the rough figures that come off of that map that we have there indicate that out of a workforce of approximately 400,000 people in the Portland metropolitan area, fully one quarter of them, 100,000 people a day, cross county lines going to work and from work. And it would seem that that is one of many indications of the inseparability of the Portland region as it comes to matters of planning because of this urbanization that we have. Another aspect of that, of course, is that we have a number of cities in our area that move across county lines. We have a large number of single service districts that cross county lines as they perform the services for their people. We have five cities that extend into two counties, and the city of Portland extends into a three-county area. Drainage basins for storm and sewer collection do not respect county or city lines, and major water supply systems exist in the area that serve entities that are found in different counties. As a result of these considerations and others that may be presented to you by other members of the group, we believe that there is a need for comprehensive land use planning in our area. We believe we have received direction from a large segment of the citizens in our area and a majority of the local elected officials that CRAG, with the passage of this bill, would offer an appropriate vehicle to do that planning. Thank you.
The question of Mr. Young. Can you leave your statement with us?
Yes, I certainly can.
Now, who was the chairman of the committee?
Excuse me?
Who was the person who said the chairman of a committee that would go into your testimony?
If I could at the present time, if we could pick up the testimony of a couple of the county members of the executive board, and then move to the, I'd like to introduce, if I could at this time, Eldon Hout, who is commissioner from Washington County.
Mr. Hout?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Eldon Hout, chairman of the Board of Commissioners of Washington County. I'm speaking for myself as a member of the executive committee and for Commissioner Bob Schumacher, who is also a member of the executive committee and Clackamas County commissioner. Commissioner Schumacher and I are the longest members of the executive committee and want to bring you something of the perspective that we've developed over the last 4.5 years. The formal establishment by the legislature of the Columbia Region Planning District, we believe, is a logical sequential step in the process that began 15 years ago, to which Mr. Young alluded. In January of 1958, representatives of Clackamas, Washington, and Multnomah County and the City of Portland signed an agreement forming the Metropolitan Planning Commission. The purpose of the commission was to facilitate the coordination of localized planning activities and to do research on subjects which logically included the entire metropolitan area. By 1965, the Metropolitan Planning Commission had some 20 reports to its credit, an array of maps and other data. However, there were indications of dissatisfaction. There were those who believed that the commission had placed too much emphasis on research, too little on coordination, and that not enough political jurisdictions were involved. The Portland Metropolitan Study Commission, created by the legislature in 63 to study the delivery of metropolitan services, recommended the organization of a regional council of governments in 65. This recommendation was received with some enthusiasm in some quarters and not so much in others. And it's, I think, an honest statement to say that the major impetus for change came from the federal government. A letter from HUD dated December 30, 1965 states, and let me quote this rather important document, "The following conditions must be ratified before subsequent applications are processed for the Portland metropolitan area. Progress must be demonstrated towards the formation of an official area-wide continuing organization for metropolitan planning." Later instructions required that at least two-thirds of the membership of the organization be general purpose cities and counties representing at least 90% of the population within the metropolitan area. And consequently, in October of 1966, 4 counties and 14 cities organized the Columbia Region Association of Governments. This has grown to 5 counties and 31 cities. By mid-1967, Craig had set out on a planning program encompassing sewer, water, transportation, land use, planning for open space, parks and recreation, storm drainage, law enforcement, housing, and other social services have been added. I think it's important for this committee to understand the basic assumptions and policies that Craig has followed up to now. They are in some ways frightening, but they represent the basic agreement of the organization at its beginning. One, that the population would continue to increase and would reach about 1.75 million by the year 2000. Two, that people would continue to prefer living in single-family dwellings on lots of 10,000 square feet. Three, that people would continue to rely on the automobile as the principal means of transportation. That local governments would continue to be financed much as they are today through property taxes and an ever-increasing tax base, slowly increasing, for each jurisdiction. And that the regional plan would reflect the plans of the local jurisdictions. Well, these assumptions, I think you can see, were ones that lead to certain consequences. And the consequences of those assumptions I believe, can be summed up by suggesting that urbanization would spread into rural and agricultural areas, that the industrial land would disperse to provide an industrial tax base for each municipal entity, and that commercial centers would locate in existing cities and in the more heavily populated but as yet unincorporated parts of the county. This plan and these assumptions have served as the basis for review by the CRAG organization, the A95 review process, for federal grants and as a basis for recommending a jurisdictional responsibility for furnishing certain services. But recently, and I think this is a product of about 2.5 years, the CRAG board has been asking if the present state of regional planning is enough. Are these assumptions correct? Should we articulate other goals that will aid in developing the community that we want? And I think the answer to that has been unanimously yes. We need to reevaluate. We need to seek new directions. Some of these are suggested in the document that I believe all of you have. And to do this, we established the system of advisory committees, relying heavily on the participation of people other than government officials. And secondly, we felt that if planning were to be done at the regional level and is to produce tangible results, that it's necessary to re-examine the very structure and the powers that CRAG has to determine whether these structures and powers are commensurate with the responsibilities. We feel the executive board and I think the General Assembly vote indicates that a bill such as Senate Bill 769 would help us to achieve these new goals. Be happy to answer any questions, and if there are
questions, Commissioner House, Senator John Rose.
Commissioner, you're not a full-time commissioner in Washington County under the charter, is that right?
No, not under the charter, nor under the compensation scheme. And am.
And am. And you divide your responsibilities between earning a living and serving on the MSP board and serving on CRAG, right? Are you on any other regional bodies like CRAG or MSP?
The Willamette Valley Project Foresight, whatever that full title is.
Political, we won't talk about that.
All right. I don't talk about much either. No.
Like that. But what you're saying essentially is that we really live in a rapidly urbanizing area where the interests of Multnomah County or Portland or Beaverton or Clackamas County are really one, right?
On certain matters, yes.
Well, can you give me any justification for regional single purpose agents? What's the justification for having a CRAG on the one hand and an MSD on the other hand, and a port on the other hand, and a TriMet on the other hand, and a boundary board on the other hand?
I can't give you, in my own mind, a philosophic justification. My own personal view is that these very well ought to be coordinated.
Doesn't it make a whole lot more sense? I mean, why don't we just enlarge our county and have one county where the people that are running it are responsive to all the voters within that unit? And then you wouldn't be fragmenting the time on all these regional
Well, Senator, it's absolutely logical and completely unfeasible. Politically.
Well, aren't we in politics to make the hard decisions?
Indeed we are.
Well, then why don't we do it?
Well, that's I believe you've tried. I don't know where that legislation is. It's a consideration for this assembly. I don't believe, as you do, I agree with you, that 36 counties are not part of the Old Testament, and it does not take, I think, a breaking of the tablets to change the way in which the state is organized.
Well, all right, there are political problems with that, but I think that's going to transpire, and if people down here in my shoes would realistically look at what the alternatives are. But absent that, I see Craig getting into social services, housing.
Housing, particularly, yes.
State Housing Division, I don't know what the coordinate factor is there. I see Craig moving away from a single purpose type regional. And it seems to me that until we can bite the bullet here and bring these county units together in a more cohesive manner, that it makes a whole lot more sense to merge some of these regional agencies so that we can have a more efficient, let's say, operation.
You're suggesting a merger of regional agencies into fewer.
Yes.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and I think the Craig Executive Board has kicked around from time to time the concept of merging, particularly the land use planning activities of Craig with the service capabilities of the Metropolitan Service District. I think this is something that's highly desirable, personally, and it's a question of timing. It's a question of this committee, if it cares to deal with that kind of a subject. I know that there are other members of the executive board here that also feel that way, and perhaps when they testify, you could ask them that. But we're not, we see that too, and I think, frankly speaking, that is a more feasible way, if not more logical, but at least a more feasible way to coordinate these services on a regional basis. I really think that you run up against some extremely difficult political decisions when you start to restructure county boundaries.
Further questions of Commissioner Howe? Thank you very much, Commissioner. Can we have a copy of the statement?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes, if I could now, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce Jane Cease, who served as a member of our Action and Direction Committee and who will comment on the deliberations and the functions of that committee.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm by accident wearing two hats today. Wanda Mays was the chairman of the committee, the Action and Direction Committee, and she is out of town, and so yesterday afternoon I was asked if I would give a report from the Action and Direction Committee. I also have
the Action and Direction Committee of what?
Of the Columbia Region Association of Governors.
Thank you.
Okay. And also, I have a prepared statement for the Metropolitan Leagues of Women Voters, if I could do that after.
Fine.
Thank
that's
you.
That's been outlawed since DRA now.
You really call it the Women Voters Bill?
John, we'd love to have you join as an associate member. The Action and Direction Committee was asked by Craig in May of last year to examine three things, the role of Craig and the function of Craig, and how it should be financed, and what sort of organizational pattern would be needed to allow Craig to put into operation its functions and duties. And we were also asked to assist in preparing legislation if it was needed to equip Craig with what we felt were the tools necessary to meet the function. So what we did was meet twice every month, starting in, I think, the end of May, and then we began to meet every week in September, and we kept that up until November. And in the beginning, we started looking at what we actually had on the metropolitan level and what sort of problems we had and arguments in favor of regional governments, arguments in opposition to regional activities. And we looked at the different sorts of agencies that we had and whether we felt that they were actually solving the problem. And we particularly looked at the aspect of planning for services. And we took each type of service, and we had a subcommittee on that. And the subcommittee would prepare a report for public works, for transportation. Finally, we got to land use, and we sort of stopped the services at that point because it appeared to us that we had done that exercise enough. And really the key to it was land use planning, but land use planning directly connected with the sorts of services and service problems that are specifically mentioned in this bill, in Senate Bill 769. And we felt that there were, we concluded that there were two reasons to change CRAG. Maybe they're really sort of parts of one reason. We felt that local governments needed some stronger way of getting together to actually be able to implement the things that they had agreed on that needed implementing at a regional level. And we also were sort of afraid that if we didn't get together, local governments getting together on a regional basis, that the federal government and the state or the state government or both might make the decisions for us. And so in that way, it was a sort of a defensive thing. But I think one of the major thrusts of the Action and Direction Committee report was this emphasis on aiding local governments in getting together and solving their problems. So then we talked about what a regional organization is, and we felt it was really sort of a treaty where people band together for the mutual benefit of everyone, and it would be a vehicle for governments in our region to act in concert, because we felt that working together, local governments would be able to best serve their own constituents as well as coordinating serving the interests of the region. We didn't define regional impact because we felt that it would be up to the newly created entity and the local governments working together in that agency to figure out exactly what they meant by regional impact as it was related to perhaps different kinds of services. And we reviewed the Minneapolis plan, and we looked at a lot of other plans from various similar organizations in the country. And we also met with the members and the staff of the councils of governments in the other part of the state. Now, on our committee, there were eight citizen members and four executive board members and three technical advisory committee members from CRAG. I say were because our committee is its job, except for assisting in getting this legislation passed, is over, and we will and are working on this. We had meetings with the city and county governments, their representatives, after we finished the report, to meet with them and talk and have any questions and answers that they wanted to go over. And we also came up with a recommendation on how we felt the voting structure should be based and also on the financing. And we felt that in one place there was a major change in financing needed. We felt that CRAG was too much dependent upon federal financing and that it should spread its financing base out. And one place where we felt there was a large need for an increase was from the state. Now, those are the major things that we covered in the Action and Direction Committee. Oh, another thing that there was a lot of emphasis on was on citizen participation. And we, in our report, we have insisted on citizen participation at every level of government, beginning at the local level and all the way through to the regional level.
Are there questions of thank you very much.
Could I read my statement from the League of Women Voters at this point? Is that all right? Or do you want me to come back later?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll read it fast. I'm speaking as president of the League of Women Voters of Portland, but today I have the official representation. I've been appointed the delegate to represent the Interleague Metro Committee, And this has delegates from all of the 8 leagues in the Portland metropolitan area. And those leagues are in East Multnomah County, East Washington County, Forest Grove, Hillsboro, Milwaukee, East Clackamas County, Portland, West Clackamas County in Oregon, and also the Vancouver League in Washington. So we are, as CRAG is doing, working together on a completely regional basis. In 1956, we began to study solutions to problems that ignore local boundary lines, and we subsequently reached a position supporting the formation of an area-wide governmental entity with power to enforce its decisions. We've studied CRAG since its formation in 1966, and we have constantly observed its operations and its plans, and there are league members who have been working, as well as I have, on other of CRAG's advisory committees. We are all too well aware of the impossibility of solving problems with regional impact without a regional agency. We don't think that local governments have either the resources or the perspective needed to handle the situation. We watch with dismay as urban sprawl continues. We have seen with frustration the 5 local governments along flooding Johnson Creek unable to cooperate to provide protection for their citizens. We have also observed freeways proliferate, dividing up neighborhoods, covering land with more concrete and asphalt, and creating drainage problems and encouraging vehicular air pollution and uncontrolled development. We have searched for viable solutions to coordinated planning and provision of services, and we ask that you aid us by passing Senate Bill 769, which would give us some means of control over some of these problems. And we recognize that this solution may not be perfect, but we do not view it as a final solution, and we do see it as an interim step toward a better one. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of presidencies?
Either way.
What would you think of the idea of handing all the service districts, finance, planning, sewage, the whole business to the Port of Portland?
Are you asking me as a league member? I'd have to say this. We are probably going to be undertaking a study of the Port of Portland itself. At present, our position is we would like to see services coordinated together by one agency, as many services as possible, because we think that makes sense. As a practical political matter, we don't think that it can get through. But, you know.
What does
Senator Meeker? Sorry.
Is the problem in Central Port doesn't have
elections? I can't hear you.
The question was, because the port does not have elected people on the port commission, is that the political problem?
We usually view this as a difficulty. We feel that elected officials are more accessible.
Senator Meeker?
If the port then were to have three or four commissioners elected at large in 3 county areas, then have them implement services of the 3 county area?
I think that I've talked to the league members about this, and I knew this was going to come up because it's something we've been thinking about. And we decided that we would like to ask the legislature to do this. I don't think that you can, right now in this session, just say, okay, we're going to throw it all to the port, because you've got actually the most multi-purpose type government that you've got is the Metropolitan Service District. But it's got political problems because the voters won't fund it. Of course, if you have an appointed agency like the port with the financing powers that it can have without a vote of the people, there are no problems. But the port is beginning to run into some problems because it doesn't have elected officials. I think what you ought to do is in the interim session, if you're going to have these local government and urban affairs committees working together, during the interim, I would very much like to see that particular area be a study. Now, it's too bad that the Metropolitan Study Commission isn't in existence anymore, because it would be just really right down their alley. But this is what the league members that I've talked to have decided that we would like to ask the legislature to do about that. I think it really deserves some good, long, solid study. But meanwhile, we would still like to be able to have something like Senate Bill 769.
Senator John Burns.
Jane, has the league taken a position with respect to the funding implications of 769?
Not specifically of 769, but we have a position that says we want a governmental entity that has the power to enforce its decisions, And along with that, in the background studies, was the implication that it would have to have some funding if it had to, if it were to be able to do anything at all.
Well, it intends to be an instrument of local government, and pushing that, wouldn't there be implicit in that the ability to raise money on a local level?
Wouldn't there be?
If it's going to be an instrumentality of local government, as is proposed here, to make these local decisions, wouldn't it logically follow that it should have its own local funding mechanism?
It does.
No,
in this bill?
It seeks money from the general fund.
That's not the only method of raising money that was in the proposal that we presented. And as I read the bill, it's still to be able to have input from local government on this.
It has an assessment from local government.
Right.
But it doesn't have to, it isn't provided with a tax base.
No.
All right.
The local governments are provided with a tax base from which they pay the assessment.
Well, does the league feel it's a matter of philosophy that the state, out of the general fund, which gives liquor monies and highway monies and other monies to local government, should also give a flat grant distribution to this kind of entity?
Well, how else are you going to solve some of the regional problems if you don't fund them to solve them on a regional basis? I mean, if you just can't do it without money.
You're like the old Irish sheep herder we used to have. You used to answer every question with the
Well, the league always, if we want something accomplished, we always, as a matter of course, as second thought, say it has to have money.
Sure does.
Further questions? Thank you.
They asked me to say that John Huseman would like to speak next. He was with the City Club.
Can we have a copy?
Gentlemen, I'm John Huseman, and I'm a lawyer from Portland. And I'm here on behalf of the City Club Committee, or rather the City Club, and I'm chairman of the Portland City Club Committee on Craig, which was formed last fall. We had met weekly interviewing witnesses, as City Club Committees generally do, until a few weeks ago when we realized that Senate Bill 100 had been introduced to the legislature, and so we decided that even though we hadn't completed our work, we would prepare an interim report for the City Club in order that the City Club might be more informed as to what was going on with reference to land use planning while the legislature was still in session. The City Club interim report was adopted by the City Club in March 23, and I believe that a copy of the City Club interim report was mailed to all the members of the legislature. At that time, we didn't realize that Senate Bill 769 was about to be introduced here, but actually our interim report is responsive to 769 as well as to Senate Bill 100. In the short time that I have, I want to point out two principal problems which the City Club Committee has found out, which I think could be helped by 769 or any strong regional planning bill. We've spoken here this morning about regional planning and about the fact that that Craig now has a regional plan, and it's true that it does have a regional plan. But the problem with the regional plan is that somebody said it is merely a reflection of the local plan. So when you take a good strong look at the master plan, you realize that since it is just a product of the local plan, that it is inconsistent with itself in some places, because sometimes the Multnomah plan for something like mass transit or sewage disposal, sometimes the Multnomah County plan is different from the Columbia County plan, which is different from the Clackamas County plan. And there, in the master plan, you have pointed up that inconsistency that would not happen if you had a strong regional plan. Secondly, and I think all of you have heard this in this story in some version or another, and it's this. If you will take a look at the number of acres devoted to industrial uses in Multnomah County and in Clackamas County and in Columbia County and add them all up, you will find that we've got in those various plans about five times too much land devoted or designated for industrial use than is going to be needed by the year 2000. Some planners will tell you it's 20 times too much. And so you sort of wonder how come. And I think that the how comes are maybe a couple. First of all, I believe that the county planners who are planning locally forget that they are planning for a regional matter of regional scope. And further, I think that the county planners sometimes are a little more interested in the tax base that comes about as a result of this over-designation for industrial purposes. They're more interested in the tax base than they would be, than they are or appear to be in the quality of life that I think could be enjoyed by all of the people in the whole area if the planning were more realistic. I think I would like to read briefly, skim over the conclusions and the recommendations in the City Club report and then pass them out to you. The conclusions that the City Club comes to are these. First, that comprehensive land use planning is needed and needed now is beyond argument. Second, land use planning in all of its aspects is a matter of regional concern as well as a concern of each political subdivision within the region. Third, any jurisdiction charged with land use planning must be sensitive to the plans of, if any, of the political subdivisions within the region, but primary emphasis must be given to coordination of the plans of the subdivision with the plans of the region and the state, rather than the other way around. Four, as long as CRAG must rely upon voluntary membership and upon contributions of its members, it cannot effectively plan for continuity in hiring, nor can it confidently plan for continuity in carrying out its programs. Five, the regional concept is vital in the Portland area in view of the multiple jurisdictions that are involved. Now, those are the conclusions that the City Club found, and as far as recommendations, this is what we had to say. This committee has not as yet had an opportunity to study in detail all of the complicated problems associated with land use planning. However, the committee feels that it can, in good conscience, offer certain broad recommendations which should be followed in any legislation. These are, first, legislation pertaining to comprehensive land use planning should be passed by the present session of the legislature. Second, deals mainly with state planning for activities in areas of state concern. Third, except for activities in areas of critical state concern, CRAG or some other organization of regional scope should have authority to develop integrated regional plans in the region wherein Portland is located. Fourth, then has to do with the other regions within the Oregon area. Five, with reference to areas and activities of critical state concern, the state and the regional organization should work together to coordinate regional plans and local plans with the state plans. Six, the regional organizations must be recognized as more than simply voluntary organizations. They must have solid sources of funding. Seven has to do with cooperation with Clark County. The entire pitch, the entire thrust of the interim report is this. Excuse me. The entire pitch of the City Club report is that if you have problems which are regional in scope, you have to have regional answers. You can't have fragmented answers or fragmented plans. And that regional planning is needed in this session of the legislature, not in the next or the next. Now, I don't have any statement except that I do have excerpts from the City Club interim report which show three things. First, the scope of the research, the persons to whom we spoke, and second, the conclusion that I just skimmed over, and third, the recommendations that I just skipped over.
Thank you, John. Question, Senator John Ray.
As a former member of the City Club, I resign because I'm narrow-minded.
We meet people like you.
I can't. It takes all the time. I couldn't agree more with what you say, what the City Club agreed upon with the court.
But I'll make those speeches I made in the Environment Committee with respect to land use planning. I think we need it, and I think we need it now. I think the ad hoc committee report is going to come out of the Environment Committee tonight, time to talk about. But I suggest to the people, including the city planners, that are concerned about actual land use planning, that they look at the Federal Register of Large Age, where the Environmental Protection Agency, in response to the Clean Air Act of 1972, passed regulations governing ambient air quality control standards, because in those regulations that the EPA promulgated on March 8th, they take jurisdiction over the locating, siting, and regulating of sports complexes, parking garages, commercial and residential developments, drive-in theaters, shopping centers, industrial complexes. And we passed through both houses of this legislature a House bill. I don't know if it's been signed by the governor yet, but it was passed on the floor of the Senate last week, which gives the DEQ the authority to implement all federal regulations with respect to environmental control. Now, implement federal regulations according to state law. So if EPA has passed regulations, and I think Russell Powell is going to be tough on this, as far as deciding the location, the regulation of these kinds of things, and I think that they should be tough on them. And we've given DEQ authority to follow up and make sure that it's done right here. Why doesn't it make more sense from a land use planning point of view to give land use planning to DEQ, like we did the solid waste thing when we ran into the trouble with the Army Corps or the MSP, and then get an advisory committee like LB Day set up, to get the citizen input, but not create an intermediate step.
Well, Senator, I come here not as a champion of 769. I'm one of the few people that's here testifying, I think, that is not directly involved. I come here as a champion of regional planning, whether you call it CRAG or whether you call it DEQ, I don't care. The pitch that I'm trying to make here, and I'm sure you're all sympathetic to it, is that if you have a regional job to do, you don't do it in fragments. And this vehicle seems to be an adequate vehicle. It's certainly a whale of a lot better than the present CRAG. Whether you give this job to DEQ or whether you give it to CRAG, or no matter to whom you give it, if you have a region which needs planning for, you make a regional plan instead of a fragmented plan. Now, I don't know whether that's responsive to your question, but that's my thesis.
Well, I think we can still have a regional approach, but I'm concerned about proliferation of intermediate.
No question about it.
And I'm also concerned about us getting our wheels if EPA is going to get into this. And I think that we should be coordinating our efforts in this regard with the agency that is the vehicle or the funnel from the federal system on down here for that EPA input.
You may be spinning your wheels, but to the extent that 769 is better than what we have now, I certainly am all for it. Now, what you say about the imposition of federal government on the state, I'm not aware of. And consequently, I am certainly for changing the law with reference to CRAG or whatever you want to call it.
I'm not arguing with the feasibility of the regional concept in 769.
I don't think so.
With respect to CRAG. But what I'm saying, I guess, is that to use land use planning as the sole rationale for this kind
there any questions of Huseman? Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Anderson?
One of my colleagues suggested that I be brief, and I'll try and be that after all of this testimony. I think I'd like to make Lloyd Anderson, Commissioner of Public Works, City of Portland, and I'm also the chairman of the Metropolitan Service District and a member of the board of directors of Craig. I'd like to illustrate just one issue that comes up all the time related to the problems which Craig has, and I think which illustrate our need to have land use planning review. We have A95 authority now, the authority to review sewer requests which come in for federal grant money, and we approve those sewer requests. The sewer requests are based on an assumption as to the density of development of land. So we come in then with the federal and local funding of a facility based on an assumption that the density of land development is going to take place in a certain area. Once that approval comes in, then the local government jurisdiction has the authority to change that density to whatever it likes. And I think that the plea we have here is that before you can make that kind of a shift with the resultant effect that it has on utility services, transportation, and so on, that there ought to be a regional review of what's going on, which I think tends to stabilize whatever objectives we set at the local level and have reviewed at the regional one. We're not taking away everything from the local governmental jurisdiction in terms of the responsibility to initiate concepts, but we are saying that if they do make commitments, and we make a commitment at the regional level on land use, that we follow it up with commitments that give us the right of review of what's going on. I think it serves no useful purpose to prepare land use plans at the regional level, which there's no authority to implement. Why do it at all? It's a waste of time. You can simply try to talk, but if every jurisdiction has its own objectives in mind, without some sort of power of persuasion beyond simply saying we think it's a good idea, I think the agency should go out of existence as it exists now. Craig plans. There are other jurisdictions that implement plans. We have the solid waste plan going on right now, financed by the state, by the Metropolitan Service District. The Craig organization is handling the contract on that. Port of Portland does plans, TriMet implements, and Port, in fact, does some planning on its own, but these things, in fact, are reviewed by the regional agency. I think there's a difference between the Environmental Protection Agency promulgating proposals which, in effect, give them the right of review. We aren't interested in just a right of review, but I think also the responsibility to initiate concepts and ideas and lend direction as to how the urban area is going to grow, rather than simply a reactionary role that is reviewing and opposing things which we don't like. So I think there's a different kind of role that the regional agency can play, and it can be a constructive one. I think, as was testified in the very beginning, not everybody's for this. Multnomah County, for example, by a vote of 3-2 of the Board of County Commissioners, voted against supporting this Craig legislation. I don't know that they're opposed to it because of the legislation itself, but rather whether it should be a vote of the people that authorized it. Be that as it may, you've got broad support in the region for this sort of business, and I think in the long run it's going to be productive if it can get up and running. As I think has been testified, it is the bill shouldn't live or breathe on Section 15, which is state financing. I think that we can get some financing locally. If Senate Bill 100 passes, which authorizes or is recommending some $3 million of financing, $2 million of which would be split out and distributed to the counties or the regions, you'd be looking at a substantial amount of state financing in that activity if that bill were passed. We would look at that as state aid, which would be highly productive and helpful. That concludes my remarks.
Lloyd, if legislation such has been proposed by Senator John Burns, consolidation of counties, which was essentially along the administrative district instead of an executive branch, is that the great deal of difference in that?
Yeah, that's bad word.
All right. I think the metropolitan area that it corresponds basically to what's proposed for the Crag area. I get over east of the mountains, I get lost.
That's good.
That's why I never go over there. I may not come back. If that were to get out of this session of legislature, then do you see that there'd be a need for SB 769?
Well, I don't know if it vests in the counties all this authority. I think you'd still have, you probably wouldn't wipe out the cities in the area. And so there probably would be a need for some sort of an agency which has cities and counties working together on issues that come up. And that would mean that in some way or another, there ought to be some vehicle for intergovernmental cooperation among the local jurisdictions. And I think this vehicle here is as useful as any. And it gives some teeth to what otherwise just becomes a debating society. You know, we've poured millions of dollars into this activity in developing water, sewer, and other plans. Let's have it turn into something besides some sort of a rite that we go through once a month, which doesn't have much meaning.
Well, let me just follow through. you talked about, mentioned something about a vote of the people. It seems to me that if we're going to go to the people for a vote, that we ought to design an organization here that we think is the most ideal that we could in addressing ourselves to the metropolitan problem. Now, if you're going to do that, what other areas would you go into in SB 769 and add to it to give a regional organization the maximum ability to handle the problems in the metropolitan area?
Well, I would have to kind of go from speaking as a member of an organization now to be speaking as an individual, because quite obviously this sort of thing would have to go back to the boards for discussion. But if you're going to go to a vote of the people, it's quite possible that you want to take a look at other kinds of things that need to be done on a regional level. I think conceptually, and I'll just kind of divert a moment this way, I think conceptually you could say that there's a lot of things that could be done at a regional level that have already been institutionalized one way or another and are ongoing. And I don't think there's any crusade to take over those things that look like they're working pretty well right now. But I think you could accurately say that, well, I think, for example, even ones we have authority right now on the handling of sewage, and is one where the service district could take over some activities right now, but there's no evidence to indicate we've got serious problems. On the other hand, we do in solid waste. And so you can identify, let's say, one thing which is probably being done adequately, and you know there's a series of other ones too. But there are others, and 9/11, which is the emergency police, is a good example, where it's quite possible it would make some sense to have the region take on that activity and contract through to some local governmental jurisdiction to run it. But you could say it makes some sense to have the regional agency exercise at least a financial base. Regional aspects of libraries, the zoo, regional aspects of recreation and parks are all things which at a regional level need to be developed and financed that probably local government is not able to handle on its own right. So if you're going to say, let's go to a vote of the people, it's quite possible we would want to come back and take a look at what those kinds of things would be and suggest that they be included in the legislation. It's quite possible you would also want to take a look at whether the service district in that case and Crag should consolidate into one agency so that you have the planning and implementation authority in one organization instead of two.
Now let me just one more. If under this, why Crag would be
all the plans before the board and everything be submitted to CRAG?
They are right now. Yeah. If there's any federal funding, money involved, funding is involved.
The Port of Portland has been pretty effective in accomplishing its objectives. Should it be consolidated into a regional agency? If you're going to bring a Metropolitan Service District, all these things. If you're going
That's something like asking whether the Highway Division ought to be, you know, have be consolidated with other activities. I think you'd have to, you know.
Put in that bill yesterday.
I beg your pardon?
Put in that bill yesterday. Create a transportation commission.
Well, I think that it would make some sense, certainly, and the port, as a matter of fact, right now does have its plans reviewed by CRAG, at least when they relate to federal funding. Beyond that, I don't think that I've really thought in any detail as to whether it makes any sense to have them move in. I think it's clear that some kinds of things associated with transportation, they shouldn't be able to do unilaterally, because they have a significant effect on how land develops.
Senator John Bryan.
Well, here's the problem that I have. I just have one of the problems. And the jurisdiction that you have is probably the best example of sewer, water, those complicated systems that have to be planned and that cost so much money and have ramifications crossing jurisdictional boundaries. And you must sense a certain amount of frustration where you have a plan for a sewer line or a water line or some such thing as that, and you come up against the boundary, whether it's city, county, line, or whether it's a question of annexation or some such thing as that. And because of the political difference between the jurisdictions involved, it's impossible to implement these plans. Now, I'm sure without going into specifics, this kind of thing happens not infrequently.
That's correct.
City-county consolidation, if it materializes, and I hope it does, will remove some of that impediment. But like in West Portland, where we go out across the Washington line, southeast, where we go into Clackamas County and come up against other jurisdictional boundaries. Maybe the answer is for the implementation tool along there with the planning tool. But CRAG, as it exists now, doesn't really have a hammer, does it?
It has the hammer if you request federal grants for sewers, for example. Then you can say that you can look at the regional needs and say that sewer should be designed to serve the drainage area, which would naturally take place. And I think that southeast Portland, where you see that big imperialistic hook of the city of Portland running east and then on north, that the sewer design that we've developed for that area, which is the Johnson Creek area, takes into account all the land that's outside of the city of Portland that drains into that sewer system. Now, we have gone on some assumptions as to the design of that utility line. That is that we've gone to the planning people in the county and said, what is your zoning and long-range plans for the unincorporated area that serve or is drained into that line? Now, the county can identify what it is. There's nothing to say that the Board of County Commissioners 6 months from now can't change the density from 3 families an acre to 200. And what happens to your utility line there, where you've got $3 to $5 million of public investment in the damn thing that won't work because it's overloaded? And what I would say is that I don't think that that's something that can be easily reconciled between the Board of County Commissioners and Multnomah County, or in another area if consolidation were to occur. The regional agency is the one that drew the boundaries as to what that drainage area should be, The regional areas is what set the, what the design tone should be. The regional agency should review any changes in land density that would affect the design of that sewer.
Further questions?
It's always a pleasure to appear before this committee.
Let's see, Don Carlson. Was there anybody else who was going to testify on 769? Pardon me? Time is 10 o'clock. Go ahead,
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm Don Carlson, Executive Officer of the Portland Metropolitan Boundary Commission, and I'm here today on behalf of the Commission to support this bill. The Commission supports the bill basically because it is a step in the right direction toward the establishment of a regional planning program for the metropolitan area, a strong program. To me, the bill does two things. It creates the boundary for the planning for the problem area. That's what it does. It's regional in scope, and it gives direction to the commission or to the agency to prepare a regional land use plan. Now, being involved with the Boundary Commission, we've been involved with many boundary changes which are involved with implementing city and county land use plans. And it's our judgment over 3.5 years of existence that there is no real agency that has taken an area-wide look at the Portland metropolitan area and said and answered the questions, this is the land we want to develop and this is the land we want to save. And we see in this bill the possibility that that will be done, that those the studies will be done and the issues will be raised to answer those questions for the entire region. The second thing we see this bill doing is taking an existing agency and upgrading it, giving it a few more powers and some more authority. It does not create a new organization, and we see this as important in this process.
Questions? Thank you. Mr. Gordon?
Are you through the...
I want to take chances if you want to testify today, because your session takes up at 10 o'clock.
Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Commissioner Mel Gordon of Multnomah County, speaking on behalf of the Board of Multnomah County Commissioners and also for myself. First of all, I'd like to say that this bill proposes to vest regional planning and veto authority for the Portland metropolitan area within the Council of Governments of Region 2. Multnomah County has gone on record opposing this legislation because, number one, Senate Bill 100 already deals with the regional land use planning, as outlined under Section 19 of Senate Bill 100. The bill does not provide for direct representation of the electorate. The bill usurps the authority of elected officials who receive their mandate from the people, and no clear definition of what constitutes regional authority is articulated. Additionally, the Portland metropolitan area has such a regional body which has received a mandate from the voters, namely the Metropolitan Service District. The main reason for having the Metropolitan Service District was to have a comprehensive regional authority serving interrelated regional functions. Consider vesting another regional body with additional powers and authorities in the Portland Multnomah County would constitute duplication of efforts and authorities, and in short would make even more complex the already difficult issues surrounding regionalism. Multnomah County therefore would oppose this legislation and suggest that the committee might consider an alternative, the expansion of the boundaries and the authorities under that body which has already received the people's mandate for dealing with regional problems, the Metropolitan Service District. Now, in listening to some of the people comment here, I really don't see too much disagreement with this theory of assuming MSD taking over, which is already a regional authority. Frankly, I'm not that much apart with the intent of these people. I favor land use planning, and I'm sure most of the jurisdictions I've talked to have.
In addition to Multnomah County opposing Senate Bill 769, I took the liberty of calling a number of elected officials around to find out their position in our area. And in talking to Commissioner Fred Stephanie yesterday from Clackamas County, he said that he opposed Senate Bill 769 and that he was sure that that Commissioner Telford did also, and that Clackamas County was not supporting Senate Bill 769. I also talked to two Washington County commissioners, and I posed the question, are you supporting Senate Bill 769 tomorrow, and has this matter been brought up before the Board of Washington County Commissioners? Commissioner Burt Wilson and Commissioner Virginia Dagg said that they did not recall this coming up and that they didn't support this regional approach. And I asked them if I could use their name in this comments tomorrow morning, and they said yes.
Burt Wilson hooked the other commissioner.
And Virginia Dagg, Commissioner Virginia Dagg.
D-A-double-G?
I think it's D-A-double-G. I also talked to Commissioner Frank Ivancy of the City Council, and he was not in support of this bill as it's drafted, and I was under the impression after talking to him that this matter had not come up before the City Council. So I'm a little confused as to all these jurisdictions officially endorsing Senate Bill 769. I know we haven't, and I'm beginning now to doubt that the other jurisdictions are supporting 769 as well. As I said before, that it's not my intent to oppose the organization of dealing with land use planning. Senate Bill 100 provides four methods of doing this for all the counties in the state, including regional areas. And also, the Metropolitan Service District does have the authority, as allocated by this legislative session, not this particular session here, but in prior sessions. Frankly, I don't like the idea of the bill having the last item here declares an emergency and takes effect July 1st, 1973. I recall a comment made during the last meeting they had on this particular matter, and one of the people in the audience, on the board, I should say, said that let's put the emergency clause on because we don't want to vote of the people. Well, that has never been the intent of the legislature that I can recall, that every time we've had the MSD come up, it's always been submitted to the people for a vote, and I think that's the proper way to do it. Senate Bill 100 provides a vote of the people. And to allow this to go through without a vote of the people and set up a regional government that doesn't even spell out what their authority is going to be in what areas, it seems to me, is a gross neglect of going around the intent of the public, or at least the known intent of the public. And I think, for one, if you're going to pass out Senate Bill 769, it certainly ought to be referred to the people.
What's the basic difference in 769 that you have in Craig now?
Well, Craig is a volunteer council of governments, and I was...
volunteered to do it, so you got it. Now, if you got it, what's the difference is between that and 769?
Well, I think 769 spells out specifically that they have the authority, and Craig does not have the authority now. It's a volunteer...
The difference between just reviewing and...
Yeah, they review, and each jurisdiction at the present time has the authority to either accept or not accept... except in the cases where they're dealing with federal funds, and they do have the authority on that, the granting of the funds.
Is this what you oppose in 769, that it does give them the authority?
No. The point I'm opposing is that you're creating another regional entity when you already have one, and we already have the mechanism for doing so in Senate Bill 100.
I don't understand. You say you already got it in Craig, but I don't understand why you're opposed to it.
No, we already have a regional. We have the MSD now, which is a regional entity and voted on by the people. And all you'd have to do...
Purse.
Beg your pardon?
Limited purse.
That's right. But what I suggested in my comments here, and I have a statement to give to the board here, is that this would allow the MSD to be... the bonders to be expanded to cover the area in concern, plus the adding on of the land use planning authority in addition to what the authority already have, which is in four areas, generally speaking. So, in other words, why create another regional entity when you already have one?
Well, you got two. You got MSD and Craig. Yeah.
Well, Craig is not an authority agency. It's strictly except in federal funds.
in the granting of federal funds.
It's been created by the municipal governments that are members of that.
That's right, on a volunteer basis to deal with the problems of the metropolitan area. But when it comes to federal grants, they do have the authority of whether they approve or disapprove of the grants. There is a definition there.
Do you want to have a question? Yes.
Now, Multnomah County Commission has taken a position on this issue, is that correct?
Right.
And your vote was what?
The original vote was 4-1.
The original vote, you mean there's another vote?
Well, there was a vote taken at the CRAG General Assembly meeting, and that vote was to oppose this, and...
Well, you've implied by the statement that the vote, the original vote was 4-1, that the vote now is other than...
Well, when this matter first came before the board, I queried the board, and the vote was 4-0 at that time because Commissioner Clark was out of the city to oppose creating a bill like this at the legislature. So at that particular time, the vote was 4-0.
Mr. Chairman, do you have on record then in Multnomah County a resolution indicating the vote of the commission on this proposal?
Yes, I presented it to the CRAG committee.
And that resolution is what? What's the vote on that resolution?
That the board opposes the creation of any legislation dealing with the...
Yes.
Right.
That's 4-1.
Well, it was 4-0 because one of the members was out of the city.
Now, were you authorized by Commissioner Stephanie to speak for Clackamas County?
No, I asked Commissioner Stephanie yesterday if Clackamas County had a position on this, and he said no. He says, I oppose this, and I'm sure Commissioner Telford did. He said, but we do not have any position supporting Senate Bill 769. That was
the
question I asked.
Washington County Commission to speak for this thing.
No, I asked them what their position was on it, and they said they had none. And I said, can I say that you said this tomorrow? And they said yes, both of them. So I'm not advocating what Washington County. I merely posed the question to them, and that's what they told me.
Go ahead.
The only thing I'd like to close with, Mr. Chairman, is that we support regional planning, and we think Senate Bill 100, had a lot of input into that particular bill because we were quite concerned about it. Now we think Senate Bill 100 for the first time does allow the whole state, including the rural areas and the urban areas, to deal with land use problems in that. If you were going to pass out Senate Bill 769, I would prefer to see, first of all, a vote of the people, which has always been traditional with the legislature, and secondly, I'd like to see it converted to expand the MSD, which is already in existence. And I'd like to say one other thing while I'm here. I frankly support Senator Burns' proposition on making all three of the counties into one county. I think really you're kind of talking about a gamesmanship here. If you had one county up there, you would be eliminating a lot of this because you'd have it as a regional area. And I think it's ridiculous really to have Clackamas County and Washington County when it's really the bedroom area of the city of Portland. And it seems to me it ought to be one county, and I certainly feel that you're on the right track in that regard.
What did the city of Portland take a position on Senate Bill 100?
They've had a lot of input into it.
Okay, you know.
If somebody can correct me on this, do so, but the last word I had was that the city took a position against.
The county's against 769, the city's against. if we wait for local government to make up their mind what they're going to do, there's not going to be anything.
How about city county consolidation?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm also the chairman of the Association of Oregon Counties, League of Oregon Cities, Environmental Law and Revision Group, and this matter came up before our executive committee on the Association of Oregon Counties, and they did not take a position for this at all. They were working on Senate Bill 100, and it's my understanding that there's a lot more concurrence with local government in the last comment you just made than anything else. And frankly, I'd like to see something like that come out, but if you do adopt something like this, the least you can do is give the people an opportunity to vote for something that's going to have a regional effect on us, as you did on MSD.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Job theater, and this thing goes to people, and there's a strong feeling that it goes to the people. It seems to me like that we ought to have the most ideal regional unit here that we could have. You heard some of the comments that Lloyd Anderson had, and I gather that you have some ideas along those lines, too. I wonder if it would be possible for you to prepare some amendments to have in reserve in case this thing does go to the people. We might give them the most ideal type of regional government we come up with.
Well, I wear two hats, I think, at the moment. Number one, I work for the Craig Executive Board, and so I think I'll have to work with them to develop what their position is with respect to any official amendments. I'm also happy to share my own observations with the committee as it seems appropriate. I can tell you that the bill that's now before the committee is the product of really substantial deliberation and reflects a lot of give and take and compromise on the part of various members of CRAG. And I don't know how much they would want to vary from that bill.
Well, I would think more of passing this bill, and if we are able to, and then also putting one to the vote of the people, and might be somewhat broader than this, and depending on which if that passed and whether this become a reality.
Well, this has a subsequent referral way of meeting, as I'm sure you know, because of the general fund education, and I can foresee, just realistically speaking, a precedent needing a way of meeting. Well, I shouldn't say emergency board, but the way of meeting committee might have difficulty with.
Well, I might suggest, Senator Burns, that you weren't here in our early remarks. We indicated that that was in to indicate the possibility that we would seek general funding, but that we're interested at the moment, and I'm sure that the CRAG Board is, in discussing the concept of the organization, which would have self-funding capabilities as well.
Well, so did and the MSD when the MSD started out, and what happened was the MSD didn't get into tax base and it came back into the last legislature. There's a lot of people in the legislature who were put in tough positions as a result of that. Maybe one.
Well, I think we all recognize the political difficulties of talking about an appropriation with the legislature, and that's a matter that we frankly would like to reserve until we can work with you to define what the agency ought to be. And then we can explore whether it's desirable or wise or necessary to seek appropriation money. I knew you hadn't heard us make that disclaimer at the beginning, and I wanted you to have that in mind.
Mr. Clark, did you want to testify?
My name is Donald Clark. I'm a county commissioner in Multnomah County. I'm the Multnomah County's representative on the Columbia Region Association of Governments Board. I think what is obvious about Multnomah County is that there is a majority of the board that does feel that there should be some kind of regional planning. I think Commissioner Gordon's comments today indicated that he indeed saw the need for regional planning. So I don't think there's any disagreement on the board about that issue. The disagreement on the board is about the issue of who should do that, and possibly about the findings of the Action and Direction Committee of CRAG. It was the Action and Direction Committee of CRAG's report that received a 4-0 vote of no confidence in its when it was the draft was initially put out. Subsequently to that, when the vote was taken on the CRAG board relating to this specific piece of legislation, there was a 3-2 mandate and instruction to me to go to the CRAG General Assembly and vote the board's position. I voted as instructed and voted a negative vote. Multnomah County was entitled to 2 votes. I was the only one in attendance, so we only had 1 vote recorded. Commissioner Stephanie was at this meeting and abstained from voting. And Commissioner Schumacher did vote 1 vote for Clackamas County in favor of this. City of Portland did take a position relating to the Action and Direction Committee report, and with some modifications approved that report. I'm not sure whether they ever took a specific action on this specific piece of legislation. Commissioner Anderson was at the General Assembly meeting and did vote the city's position. I believe he was the only one in attendance there that evening. I think that probably what I need to say is that this is a critical issue. I think it's an issue that this session of the Oregon Legislature would be proud to have taken a step in dealing with something that's going to make the land worth having for our grandchildren. I think if we don't take that step and take it soon, our grandchildren will be cursing us, and I don't think that's appropriate. I also think that we're running out of time, and we really don't have time for another interim to study the issue more. I think we have to have some kind of tools now in order to do regional planning. There are decisions made daily in the local jurisdictions relating to transportation, relating to various utilities that have an impact on adjoining jurisdictions. And yet there is no area-wide authority that can compromise the thing in the name of regional planning. It is a situation, I think, that needs immediate correction. I think the session legislature would be wise to pass such legislation.
Commissioner Clark, if we wait for anything that forces unanimity from the local units of government, the metropolitan area, we'll be grandfathered before we get a chance to vote on it and wait for that. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I've got to put that with my own analogy, and I don't want to end up being my own grandfather or something.
Any questions? Other questions, Commissioner Clark? Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.